over?
Well, that I wouldn't know that. I wouldn't have the slightest idea how they, what came to come. My father came here first from Norway. My father came from Todal, Norway. And my mother came from Oppdal, Norway. Now, as near as I know, they met in Moscow, as far as I know.
Uh-huh.
And what year that would be, I wouldn't have the slightest idea what year that they, my father. Well, my father, he was pretty much more of a, he's a blacksmith by trade from Norway. And when he came to this country, he was a tool sharpener. Sharpened tools with these mining places. He used to work for, oh, for K.P. Balmer and Lewis, and they had mines up here at Bowl, or not Bowl, but well, it's Bowl now, but it was Ruby Creek is what they called in them days, just side of Elkhorn. And he used to work for them, work out there. That is, of course, that is after we got married, and that is after my folks were married. And I was just a little guy at that time. But that's how he made his living, besides he had his homestead and cattle and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Did you know he come right out here to the West when he came over from Norway?
No,
he stayed in the Midwest, or?
I don't know where he landed when he came to this country, but he, as I remember, he used to work in the mines in Colorado. Now, what he done there, I don't know, but I suppose it's tool sharpening. I suppose that's the same as what he done for these fellas out of Lewiston up here.
Your son was telling me something about homesteading in Montana.
Well, I homestead in Montana.
Well, that was you, okay? Okay, well, then we'll hold that for a little later. You're still a young kid now, what I'm asking you about. Now, you were born at Janesville?
Well, now I can't be specific on that for the simple reason is here that I've tried to gotten a birth certificate and I've not been able to get a birth certificate.
Hmm.
It's just taking it
mm-hmm.
down everything. And when they, as near as I ever got, is from the. Census Bureau, and that's come out of Baltimore. And I was supposed to have been born in 1894 in Rimrock Precinct, there's First County. Well, that's down here by Lewiston. Now, as near as I remember, I was supposed to have been born up here in Janesville, but they have no record of me anywhere up there, so I couldn't tell you where I was born.
Was your father homesteading in Janesville at the same time he was working out in?
He homesteaded there. That's where he's homesteading. It's right down the corner where you're going towards Bowl. You got a helmet, make that turn and go towards Bowl. Right on that corner is where he's homesteading. That's what she's telling about this brother first being baptized. And that's old schoolhouse just across the road. There is no schoolhouse now, no. But there was at that time. So that's as near as I can tell you anything about that, but
what was the place like? Did you grow up in a cabin or house or?
That was a log cabin.
What do you remember about it? Do you remember about how big it was and what it was like? Was it one room?
No. There had to be two rooms at least, anyway. Sure, two rooms. But it was a log cabin, hewed out log cabin, what it was. And there you see Arthur Burke, he's got all of that because he was there when I was born as far as Arthur is concerned, I just imagine. Now that's where they told me I had to have someone 10 years older than I was to verify my birth. Well, there you are. I never even knew about this lady, never even heard of her.
Were you the first kid?
Huh?
Were you the oldest in the family?
I'm the oldest of the boys. I have a sister, Lydia. I never had a sister, but she passed on. There's one brother left. He's out of Seattle, or at Auburn, rather. That's all. Just us two left.
How much land did your father have cleared at the time? Was there much cleared on the place?
Well, just a meadow. That's all there was there. And I don't know, I suppose it was probably 50, 60 acres of meadow. That's all there was. But there was, them days of cattle. There was no farming. There was hay and cattle. That's all there was. And they mother sold cream, or not cream, but butter. Was them days, it was no cream, it was butter. Sold their butter for their store bill. So that's just about all I can tell you on that, because that's 80 years ago, boy. Mm-hmm. My memory ain't that good. It's way back 80 years ago.
What about the time that you mentioned that you busted your leg? How'd that happen?
Oh, that happened when I went out in the timber to get some cattle. My oldest brother was herding Hooker, cattle for Hooker, and Andy Whedon up in the Elk River country. And he came out, so I took his saddle and put on my horse. The stirrup was too long, so I put my foot in between the leathers there where your stirrup is. And that little white dog, and he came out there in the timber and run ahead of the horse, scared the horse, and he jumped aside and I fell off. And I drug her on out there in the brush. They finally found me out there in the brush with this here leg here broken. And there was no doctors in them days. Doctors, but there was way back in Moscow. No money to have, as far as I'm concerned. So there were three old homesteaders, old timers out there. And they put me in a hay shed out there and set my leg, and that's where I stayed like it was.
How'd they set your leg?
How'd they set it?
Yeah.
Well, it's time for you would, or anybody, but pull it out and put a weight on it and let it hang there till it's set. I laid in a bed in the back, the barn, in the hay shed. And the reason I laid in the hay shed was because my mother was sick in the house. She was in bed. So they didn't want me in there to bother her, so they put me in the hay shed. Well, that's all there is to that.
How long did you lay there?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose a couple of weeks or so. Okay.
And about how old were you then?
Oh, I suppose I was 6-7 years old, something like that.
Oh, just a little tyke.
Oh, yeah, I was just a little shaver at that time. Yeah. Yes, I was just a little bit of shaver. Just all I could do to hang on the old saddle horse. That's how I got the stirrups are too long, so I put them in the straps, you know, with the leather stuff for your stirrup. And of course, when he jumped to the side and I fell off, I got caught in the stirrups. I got caught in the leathers and drug me around the brush.
Do you remember what your mother was sick with?
No, I don't remember that. I wouldn't have the slightest idea on that.
Do you remember when you were a kid what you ate mostly?
Huh?
Do you remember when you were a kid what you ate mostly? What the family ate?
What they ate?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose pork sausage and pork. Potatoes, something like that.
You raised your own hogs, did
you? Oh yeah, you raised your own hogs and raised your own beef and stuff like that. But in them days, sure you had beef, but the biggest percent of that was cured pork hams, bacon, done your old cure. In them days, but beef. Oh, you had beef. They called chip beef. Just have that, take a quarter and fix it up. brine and then hang it up to dry, and it'd be chipped beef. Same way with your pork, you had chipped pork or dried pork or whatever you might call it. But in that was the only thing you outside of anything fancy them days, you didn't have anything fancy. It was, well, sure you had fancy. What you call fancy now would be, it wouldn't be anything like fancy now than what we had. In other words, we used to eat porridge. You know what that is?
What was it made out of? Wheat?
No, yeah. It was made out of milk and flour and cooked up just like a mush. And sometimes my mother would have rice porridge. If you got rice porridge, boy, you got a treat then. And lots of times you got made out of cream, porridge made out of cream. And that was the biggest treat in the world. You go to Norway, that's the biggest treat you get. Yeah. So, but it's, I mean, years and years, years back.
Did you hunt at all when you were a kid? Father?
No. That was, you might say, that didn't mean nothing. Deer were run all over the meadows for him. Deer any time you want. They didn't go and slaughter the deer at them days. Oh God, if you want a deer, you go take it and get you a deer if you want. And lots of them probably went and lived on deer. That may be, I don't know. But what we lived was on our pork and our beef and that. I don't think my dad ever shot a deer in his life, and I know I never shot. I've got the first one to shoot yet. So, but there was all kinds of them on our meadow, especially in the spring of the year. A lot of them. But then it's, there could be others that probably lived on their venison and stuff. But the biggest percent of them was pork, beef.
So I suppose you probably didn't fish much either then.
Well, of course, that's just me. There'd be others, of course, that would go out and fish and all this and that. But none of us were that type, fishing or hunting or anything. So it was, no, in them days it wasn't too much.
What about that time that you mentioned when this big guy scared you when you were a kid?
That's up here on the Anderson Crossing. Up here, south and west of Deary.
Would you tell me what happened again?
Huh?
Would you tell me what happened again?
Well, what happened, there was a sawmill up there that had quit sawing lumber. And the name of the sawmill was the Water Power Sawmill. And my father had bought some lumber off of him. And I sent my oldest brother and I up there to get this lumber. And I went down there, we were feeding the horses, and I went down there, I seen a tunnel, that's a portal of a tunnel. There's a shack sitting on the portal of that tunnel, so I got curious, kind of wondering what the world that portal was. So I went in there, and there's old miser, I guess is what he was, and a big Anderson is what they call him. He was inside, and the minute I stepped on the plank with the echo from my bits, echoed back in the tunnel and come back. So he hollered, wanted to know what the world, what was going on, who was that? Of course, that scared the daylights out of me because I didn't know there was anybody in there. So I went back up to where we had a horse, and this old man, he come there with an old cap made out of an overhaul, and his shoes were made out of an overhaul, patched up, made his own shoes, his cap was old. He had an old stick with him. Wonder what I wanted to do down there. Well, I told him I didn't want nothing on. I thought there was a portal there and there was a shack on that end of that portal, so I wanted to see what was there. So that's what it was, and he's supposed to have had most of them working on patent for perpetual motion in there. So that's where that He had that seal up there. And his name was, now as all I know, his name was Big Anderson. I wasn't the only one he scared to death. Big old guy.
Now this guy was living, where was he living exactly?
He lived there.
He lived right here in
In that shack on the end of that tunnel. That's where he lived.
Do you think he was worried about you getting in looking at his machine maybe?
Well, I suppose that's what he was looking at for. That he's supposed to have had his, supposed to have been working on this perpetual motion in that tunnel. So that's why he came up there, wouldn't know what I wanted up there, snooping around.
Did you think he was mean when he came out?
Well, I don't know about that. I know he didn't have to be mean, all it was just the looks of him, but to make you feel that was all I needed. You see a man coming there with an old hat sitting on, an old cap just sitting on the top of his head with, made out of old overalls, and his shoes made out of overalls, and his old clothes just about as dirty as they could be, why, you might stop a figure the next time. And he was no little man either. He was a great big son. So he... Oh, Arthur Burke, he's the Burke, he's head of the old Nampas. Nampas up there, dear, is the one to consider the back in the old days up there. That's where you should get your old.
Oh well, you know some things, and I. What do you know about that water sawmill there? It was called the water. You say it was called the water power mill. Mm-hmm. And could they saw much lumber with water power there?
Yeah, they saw lumber. Hot like the quick run right through the mill. Just run the machinery, you know. It's all done by water power. And some of the boys that live up there at Deary, I believe, left of the old man's generation. Now, I'm not too sure, but I can't think of the name now. There's two of them boys, I believe, lives there in Deary.
Are you thinking of Berkland?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've talked to Joel Berkland. Yeah. I was going to talk to Bill Berkland, too. That changed. I want to ask you about Janesville. What was there besides your place being right near there? What was in there? What was the town made up of?
There was no town. That's all it was. It was just a store.
Well, there was... The store was just one
just like
building.
If you had built you a shack out here in nobody's land and over the country. And you had... How he got the mail, I don't know how he got the mail. But that's where we got our mail. It was at Janesville. And had his store. He had flour, sugar, and coffee, and things like that. And the folks would trade butter and eggs to him. If you had taken it, trade butter and eggs to him. Well, I suppose he took to Troy and traded in for cash to Troy. But that's all there was at Janesville. There was nothing there, only just that one building. And in fact, it was, I suppose, Russ Lawrence's homestead. Now, I'm not too sure about that, but I just suppose it was. Russ Lawrence was the name of him, the man that owned it. And so that's father to the father of the boys in Deary right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Lawrence brothers, the Lawrence boys in Deary. They're the second generation, you see. Russ Lawrence is the father of these boys' father that lives in Deary. And it's, he owned the store, and when the railroad come in there, he put a saloon in up on the corner, his old room. So but there was no town there.
Did your family trade at the store much?
That's the only place they did trade. That's the only place you either had to trade there or go to Troy, and do this and go to Troy. It'd take all day and part of the next day in olden days to go to Troy. Team and wagon, go to Troy, and mud lots of times halfway up on the wheels. So that's the only way you could go, to trade it. Either there or go to Beauville. But we didn't go to Bovo, we traded rush launches and so on. And Jamesville, so we traded.
Did you ever go into Troy back when it was Volmer with your father?
No, I don't remember that I ever went with him to Troy. No, in them days you didn't.
I've heard tell that there was a whorehouse on that meadow once. Is that true?
Is that going there?
That's okay.
Well, that'd be put in.
Or just, you know, we don't take anything out. But I'd heard that as a... Was that when the railroad came through?
Railroad and timber cruising and all that. That's when the big boom was up there, you see, when the railroad and all that. That's right down the middle. J.P. Donner was the one that was owner of that layout up there at that time. But not for J.P. Donner in on any of that.
But that's a fact, that.
Well, now, that really changed the country.
Huh?
That really changed everything when the railroad came through.
Oh, well, yeah, that's what changed everything. In the days where Helmer is today, there was nothing there. Only thing about that Helmer was, I don't remember what old man Leaner's name was, but Leaner was the old man that lived there. That was his homestead. And there was several kids there, and there was nothing there at all till this timber cruising come in, the washing water, not water power and dump.
The Washington, Idaho.
No, the PFI.
Yeah,
went in there and bought all that timber. That's how my father sold. You see, instead of selling them the timber, he sold it to Densmore and Smith out here at Avon.
Uh huh.
And then he took his money, come down here. Well, a lot of them, they just sold the timber to the company and they had the stumpage left. But that's then when the boom come, then of course when they got the timber bought up, then they started that railroad.
Well, that's when your father sold the timber, right when Potlatch was coming in. He sold the place.
Sold everything.
He didn't sell it to Potlatch, though.
He didn't sell the Potlatch.
Is that because Potlatch wasn't paying good enough?
Well, he didn't see the figure on that. He just figured like this, that all he'd have left would be the stumps. And he had nothing to do anything with anyway, it was the stumps. And he got $2,800 for it. And which probably they gave him half of that for the timber, and all he'd left was been the stumps left there. He wondered if a piece of wood he'd have to go and ask the potlatch come to get a stick of wood. So he sold his place, come down here and bought this place here for the same price. So he got three places there. But there's the Leaners. Yeah, there's a lot of them that have left that sold the timber, and that's what they had the stumpage left. What they made their living on, they probably worked in the woods or worked in the railroad, I don't know what. But up on the meadow, well, that meadow, that was a big, big thing, that meadow, and all the hay and cattle and stuff, that meadow. But that's where J.P. Donner lived at that time, and he had that left. Ain't any of them Leaners up there in Helmer? You ever?
There's run? One Leaner still there, as I've been told.
They should know something about that country. Is that a girl?
I think there's a man, but I don't know for sure. Do you know the story of her getting killed, the daughter, Agnes Leaner?
Well, all I know is hearsay now. That's all I know.
What's the hearsay that you know? What did
well,
you hear?
Well, she was taken over to the mine over there in Avon, and that there, mica mine over there, Avon. That's where she was shot, as I understand. And I understood he shot himself.
Right afterwards?
I suppose so. His name was Jesse Dill. Her name was Agnes. I went to school with Agnes. So I knew her well. Agnes, she was a swell girl. Jesse, he was enough there an old outlaw to start out with. But his name was Jesse. There's a Bill Dill man. There used to be a Bill Dill man. His brother down in Julietta. There's another bird. Now that Bill may be the original Bill. He may be passed on. I don't know. But there is a Bill Dillman down here in Julietta, and they're one of the oldest timers in there. That Bill Dillman. Now whether this is a young one down here, of this Bill Dillman's family, or it, I don't think it's. Can't be Bill, because he'd be 100 years old now. But he used to go around and trap bear and sell bear meat and sell the hide. He had a show at one time, I guess, was the two bear traveling around with. But that was the old man, that was Bill.
Did he just travel right around here? Did he go?
No, right around through his territory here, as I understand. I never seen it, but that's what they said. But I seen him have bear on a pole and bringing along out from his traps. I've seen that. But the old man, the real old man, he lived down on the Potlatch, down in there just about where you cross over to go to Bull Creek. That's where the old man lived.
Did you go to school right there,
yeah,
in the meadow?
That's where I first started, as far as I know. And that school. But that school is all gone. The records are all gone.
What did they call that school there? They have a
Hog Meadow.
Hog Meadow. Mm-hmm. And there was a church there too.
They used that school as a church.
Oh.
They had no churches. They used the school as a church. Voting precinct and everything was there within that school. But I went to school there. That's where I first started. And as far as I know, I don't know who my first teacher was, but I wouldn't have the slightest idea.
Was there many kids there in the school?
Oh, there's quite a few kids, all right. They all had to walk through the snow, get there the best you can. But there were half-grown guys. Instead of kids, they were half-grown men. All right. Well, there was from the Hog Meadow, there was seven there, and there were seven south of us there. There were several families lived south of us. And the Leaners, there were several, two boys of the Leaners, because they passed on a long time ago. Agnes, Clara Leaner she married a cook at Camp 6. Clara Leaner.
What was the church that was there? Was it Norwegian and Swedish mostly, or everybody, or what?
Most anything, I just suppose. But it was Scandinavian there, but my folks were Scandinavian. I suppose the minister was from. Now, I don't know who the minister would be unless it would be the one that lived out there by Avon. Because the minister lived there, it could have been him, I wouldn't know. But what services they had there probably was once or twice a year.
Remember what it was?
I don't remember. I don't think we're. I don't know if we ever had any Christmas. As far as I know, you'd have nothing to buy. If you had anything to buy clothes with, you were lucky to have anything else there. Sometime. No, I wouldn't know anything else to tell you.
What? How much of this place was cleared when you folks moved out?
Oh, about 70, 80 acres of this here. That's all there was of this. Here, when he bought this. But in them days, there's nothing but cattle and cream to sell. What a little. I didn't raise very much hay. They raised a little grain, beans, stuff like that. Here.
What was it early work that you started doing yourself when you were a boy?
What was it?
What kind of work did you start doing first when you were a kid and growing up? When you started working on the place, what did you do?
On the place?
Yeah.
Oh, well, here it was more or less farming here, whatever that would be, but cultivating beans or stuff like that. Pitching bundles in the field, sizing, drive bundle team, all grain, stuff like that. And when you went out to work with somebody else, well, you just use a pick and shovel. That was your main thing in them days.
Did any of your family work on the railroad when it was coming down through here?
No. I had a cousin that worked on the NP out of Kendrick here that fired on the railroad out of Lewis into Spokane until he finally became an engineer, but then that's after we got down to the early 1910. Sam, what are you doing?
Just scratching. That's my name too, Sam.
Huh?
That's my name too. Sam.
What's your name?
Sam.
Sam?
That's right.
Oh.
What do you remember the early winters being like?
Early winters?
Yeah.
Oh. I know we used to have a lot of snow. Not too cold, but we used to have a lot of snow. We used to have to go to school up here and wade the snow to go to school. That's about all it was in them days.
Do you think it was winters harder, much harder than they are?
Well,
now?
No, not any harder, but you had a whole lot more snow than you got now. You ain't got, you ain't got any snow now compared to used to be here in the olden days. Used to be times here they had to even break the road out here so they get the milk here through. Same way with the, if you didn't want to go to Kendrick, you'd have to, well, the one thing about here, going to Kendrick, you'd drive a sleigh down here to the point of the bridge there, and then you hook onto a rig with wheels on to go to Kendrick.
Huh.
And that's where the milk here had to come out. He come out on wheels and got to the point of the, this ridge down there, he had to hook onto the sleigh. Make his trip around in the sleigh to get back down there and hook onto the wheels to go back to Kennedy. So that's pretty tough. Now I used to get my mail up here by the road up here, and now I get it right here by the door. So there's a lot of difference there again. That just happened here in the last couple of months. Not that long, a month ago. There for 60 years. Now he's right here with the door. There's a lot of difference there.
You remember going down to Genesee for the harvests?
Well, I don't remember too much about that, but I remember it's harvesting down there, as I told you about harvesting down there at the time I worked with Cameron. Pitching bundles and stuff like that. That's the only. The only time I remember much about. And I worked for the government in Montana for a while, about 3 years, surveying. Stake puncher and skinner, stuff like that. Well, I got married, and after I got married, I started farming. After that, like.
Now, is it true that your wife was homesteading herself?
That's what we got, yeah. No, I had homesteaded too, but I sold my homestead, and when we got married, because she lived west of town and I lived east of town, so I just sold mine, and we got married, and we still got that. Mm. That's about, oh, that was long, about 14, 15, somewhere along there.
Was she homesteading on her place? What's the story about that? I mean, did she come here from Norway and took up a homestead? Is that what happened?
She came from Norway to North Dakota, to help for North Dakota, to her brothers. She worked there for years, several years out there. And then she had a brother here in Montana where she homesteaded, and the land was sold off at the homestead, so he wrote for her to come out there and homestead. She come out there and took a homestead out there. And that's about all this, that. We started farming after we got married. We started farming then, and had a crop or two, and then had a few failures, so we decided we better come back out here.
Well, what's different about it is that you don't usually find a woman taking up a homestead.
Oh, yes. Oh, you don't now, no. But you did in them days. There's just lots of them took up homesteads. Them girls sit out there in the prairie all by themselves, boy. I know of two girls that sit out there, used to Dutton, sit out there on the prairie, and they go out and work in the summertime, make their wages in the summertime. But you had to put so much time on your homestead. Sit out there in the prairie, wild old prairie, in a little old shack, and nobody within miles of you. So you put your time in and they go back to work. I know two girls up there I was up there by Cutbank in the northern part of the state. They found them froze to death in their bed, and that's how they homesteaded. They've been out in homesteading, and been out, went to come back on their homestead for the winter, you see. They'd work during the summer and come back. They hired a guy at Cutbank. Oh, it's in the eastern part of Montana. It's in the coldest part of the state. But anyway, these two girls, they come to this town, and hired this guy to take them out. And they bought all the stuff that they figured they needed, got everything they had. So the guy, he took them out, and there was a storm coming up. So he asked them if they had everything that was needed now. They had matches and everything, so the girls said yes, they had everything. So he took off and went back to town to get back before the storm. He was caught in the storm. And the girls went in to find a match, to find, build a fire, and they didn't have a match in the house. So in order, I don't remember what the zero was, but it was one of the severe storms up there. In order to try to make it, to exist, they bundled up in all their clothing and in their bedding and went to bed. And that's where they found them, in their bed, dead. And they written to the mother. And I believe the mother was in Salt Lake City, Utah. That if they found them, why, that's where they'd be. That was up there. East of Shelby, I don't remember.
You think that your wife had any trouble homesteading? Was it, you think it would be tough on a woman to homestead?
She didn't have any trouble any more than the rest of them. She had a brother within a half, 3/4 mile of her place. So he'd look after that part of it, see that she had all that. Well, there's lots of girls homesteaded out there that didn't have nobody. None of themselves homesteaded. But the wages in them days, you know, my wife, she got $2.50 a week. So
doing what?
House work for you or for me or whoever it was. The best she ever got, she cooked on a plow outfit. That's where I met her, on a plow outfit. Cooked there for $5 a week. That's right, for a plow outfit. Fireman, engineer, house plow monkey, and a coal monkey, and the water boy. She cooked.
Well, what'd you go out there for anyway? Did you get tired of Idaho?
No, I went out there. My brother was out there, and I went out there, and he worked for the government surveying, so I went out there and got on a job with the government. Out of Great Falls, punching stakes, rodding, driving old mules, most anything. Anything you do to make a difference. I was made more money in them days than I ever did since. $2.35 a day. 35 cents a meal. Like with them discharges. And that's, I put more money in the Great Falls National Bank than I ever did. That, I was in the camp like in 16 days, being 1 year that I never was outside of camp.
Really?
Yes, like in 16 days, being a whole year that I was never outside that camp. I was up there at the Sun River Diversion Dam, up there next to Rocky Mountains, 60 miles from nowhere. You had no cars, no nothing. If you went any place, you'd either put your knapsack on your back and take out a foot, or, well, the only way you got in, it's a stage or take you in or something like that. But we were back in the mountains, back on what they call the Sun River. You ever been in Great Falls?
Never have been, I don't think.
Sun River, there's a river comes out of the Rockies back there. There's a big dam, surveying for a big dam back there. And we were on the survey crew. And we were on the survey crew on the mouth of the Sun River, where they're splitting another dam. And I worked there, rodding, chaining, most anything that they wanted to do. But when we were serving on the prairie, serving for canals and stuff like that, why, I'd either punch steak or rod, or most generally I drove a mule team, and then I'd rod besides out in the field or punch steaks out in the field. I spent two years with them. But as far as making money, I made more money than that $2.35 than I have in the bank, because I never had no way to spend it. The only thing it was in the bank, it only was in the camp was play cards. No booze allowed either, boy. No Uncle Sam's camp.
Well, I imagine there'd be some guys could lose a lot of money playing cards, too.
Oh, yes. But you were not allowed to gamble, you know, penny ante, or less than, not over 2 bits, or something like that. If they caught you gambling, why, you'd be out, they'd kick you out. But you had that for pastime, play cards, penny ante, or whatever, little like that. But there was only one guy, that was after they started building the dams, come in there. He was a guy that right on the stuff, so he come in there and fleeced a bunch of them that took after him, that had caught him. He would have never lived to see daylight in the door. Took $1,800 out in one night. So they took after him, but they get out. So them days, you know, it was, why shoot it? I had a guy that died in my bunk. No doctor, no nothing. Where they buried him, the Lord only knows, I don't.
What happened to him? Did he just get sick?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I was, at that time, I was freighting for, I wasn't working for the government then, That is for Uncle Sam. I was working for the contractor that had the government contract. And I was working, driving freight team. And I come in to get my freight one evening, and this, I was supposed to pick up the government mail and also the contractor's mail. But I wasn't allowed to have anybody stay in the bunkhouse with me. So I come in that afternoon, come into camp, or come into town there to get loaded for the next morning. And it started storming that night, and an old man come up to the bunkhouse, and he begged and begged to get to come in. So I told him, no, I said, you can't come in. He said, that's out. Well, it finally got the best of me. This old man stood there, and you might say crying. He was sick, didn't want to come in out of the storm, out of the weather. So I let him in. I gave him, had a double bunk. You've seen these double-deck bunks. And I gave him the lower bunk, and I'd take the upper one. So when morning got, I had to go, and he said, well, Teamster, he says, will you let me stay here? I says, I can't let you stay here. So he broke down, started crying. He was sick, which was his trouble, which he died anyway. But he says, I'm so sick. He says, I'll do anything to stay. Well, I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, I'll let you stay here, providing that you take these keys, lock the place up when you leave here, and go to Frank's restaurant in Gilman and give him the keys. All right, he did that. So I went to the camp. It was that day on the road, the next day in camp, and the next day I come back. And I come back and drove up to the bunkhouse, and he come out the door on his hands and knees crawling on the floor. Oh, he says, Teamster, I'm sick. I said, what's the matter with you? He said, you didn't know. He says, oh, he says, urine is nothing but blood. I said, you had a doctor? No. He says, I got no money for a doctor. He said, had anything to eat? No, he had nothing to eat. So I said, what do you want to eat? I'll go get you something to eat. No, he says, I don't want to eat. All I had left says, I'd like to have a little milk. I said, all right, when I get the horses taken care of, he says, I'll take you down to this farmer and get you some milk. So I went down and got the farmer the milk. Down to this farmer, get the milk, give him the milk. And I went downtown, called the doctor. The doctor asked, he says, you got any money? I said, I don't know anything about it. I said, I've notified you and I'm going to notify the sheriff. I said, up to you to come to care. So by the time I got back up to the bunkhouse, well, here the sheriff was, the doctor both. No man's laying there in the bunk. I said, going to take him out to the hospital? That was only 4 miles over to Augusta, to the hospital. He said, we can't move him tonight. Well, he says, you will have to take care of him. I said, I can't take care of him. I said, because I got to go back to camp in the morning. I said, the only thing I can do, I said, I'll take care of him till midnight. I said, help to care of him till midnight. I said, you'll have to get somebody else to look after him after that. So I did. Put hot packs on his stomach. That's all it was, a bunch of aspirin or morphine pills, I suppose, is what they gave him. But anyway, at midnight, I went on the barn and laid down in the barn. And at midnight, these other boys had come up from downtown, some of his partners down there. And, well, he said, the old Teamster is gone. I said, he's gone? Yeah, he's gone. Well, he died. So I told him, I said, all right, lock her up and cover him up. Next morning, I went down and called the sheriff. Told the sheriff. They gave me orders to lock her up, and I did. And what they'd done with him, the Lord only knows I didn't. I suppose they took him over in the bank of the river in the sand pile and dug a hole and rolled him in and covered him up. And that's about the way that happened, I imagine. Nobody else knew what would become of him. And he used to be a contractor down here in on the Snake River. This old guy. So in them days, you know, a man's life One guy they found dead up there. All they'd done was hold along the canal. They'd just dug a hole in the fill and roll him in and have him up. Another fella found him dead in his bunk. Hey, flunky. Found him dead laying in his bunk. How who killed him? Nobody knows. No, it's a little different now about them things.
You think that that country was much different than the country around here? Think it was a much tougher country?
Where?
That country in Montana.
Well, anyone, any new country is the same thing. I don't care where you go for that. Well, that, when we were up there, that was civilized to what it was before we ever got in. Why, shoot. That old timer's up there tell about if you got on the outs with anybody and there's either the gun you or whichever was the best shot. So that older country, new country like up there, but that was a cowboy. That was a cowboy country in them days. And that's how they, when the government turned that land over to be homesteaded, why, shoot, the cowboys, they had the big stockmen, had all that land, some of it fenced in, some of it had sheep sheds on, some of it. And Uncle Sam turned it over to be homesteaded. You've seen them guys get their stuff out of there right now. So that, no, in the olden days, why, that same right here. I had settled down here in Lewis. At the, there was a tavern up there just about the middle of town. But anyway, it don't make no difference what tavern it was. But I was sitting there, making a cup of coffee. An old guy sat alongside of me. He started talking to me. He asked me how long I'd lived around here and this and that. He was an old timer from up here in Southwick. He started telling me about olden days over there at Southwick. He says, the rope and the neck around your neck is over a pole, he says, was the law in them days. So I said, well, maybe it wasn't why that. He was out of the six shooter. So it's, but now, why? It ain't much bit different here. Right now, there's Lester Nelson up here. They're telling me somebody stole his garden cultivator. They seen the tracks where he went through, these guys went through the store, come and got it and took off. No, well,
do you know about any of that kind of stuff around here in the early days? Any? I guess one thing that I've heard about it was the old that there was some guys disappeared, some Italian workers disappeared, you know, when they were building the railroad through. That's an old story that I've heard back in around on the cuts. They figured they buried him, threw him in the cuts.
Well, that I wouldn't know that, but I do know this, that you know where the Hog Meadow is. Well, straight east of the Hog Meadow, there's an old road that goes out there to a big old, in them days, that was a big trestle. Now, I guess it's, I've never been over there, but as I understand now, it's a big dirt field. But in the days when they built it, there was a big wooden trestle in there. And at that time, Janesville or Russ Lawrence had a saloon. And of course, they, Wops and all these guys are getting drunk on hoot owls. So they started out one night and they got to fighting out there east of the meadow, and some fella got killed out there, and they just dug a hole in an old shack out there and rolled him in and forgot about it. Now that's just hearsay with me now. I don't know how true that is because I never been there, but that's what they claim. But outside of that, why? But in the timber country is a little different. Prairie country, by God, boy, you. Them boys over there, they just didn't. I seen fellas up there at Cutbank. See fellas sitting there next to a table What man? He was dressed in buckskin. Buckskin pants, the buckskin coat, and the tassel. And don't kid yourself, but I'll bet you he was a tough old bird, too. And that was right up in the cattle country, right up there, Cut Bank. And that's all Indian land up in there. Yeah, we had a neighbor down there next to us, down there, that he could tell about the old days there, the six-shooter, or the rope, whichever they took first.
Did you ever know a guy they called Wild Davy around here?
Wild what?
Wild Davy. There was a guy around here that used to wear buckskin, I heard. Arthur Burke was telling me once about...
Well, Arthur, you know, he should know because he's...
Well, yeah.
He's one of the oldest goddamn guys in
there. He said there was a lawless bunch up on Shea Meadows.
Could be. See, that's north of him, up on the... back up in the timberland. Arthur would know. He is one of the oldest settlers in that part of the country.
Yeah.
And... of course, there ain't any of the leaners left, except in this here younger generation of what you were talking about
yeah.
there.
Well, you know, did you ever hear anything about the IWs?
Oh, yeah. Industrial Workers of the World? I won't work? That's how I got my job over at Genesee. IWW sitting on the sidewalk, and I come out there to get a job. Ross to come up and say, I want to work. What do you pay? So, no. He went along the line, no. Not for that wages we didn't work. Come up to me, say, kid, do you want to work? I never asked no wages at all. I told him yes. Well, that's how I got my job. I was IWW, Industrial Workers of the World.
They was in the harvest field, eh?
Harvest field, but you lied. I pitched bottles in one outfit there, this Cameron outfit, where they stick a dynamite dropped out of the bottle when they're cleaning up, and that was it. We quit right now. And northeast of Genesee, have you ever contacted this Halsted out here at Troy and Gorsuch? Well, they may not be any of them left. They run a big thrashing crew. One of their outfits burned up just on a bunch of matches being in the bar. Fire in the bundle.
Oh, yeah.
That was IWW work, Industrial Workers of the World, done that.
I thought that they was in the logging camps. I didn't know much about this.
Well,
field.
They were in the logging camps, too. But harvest fields, why, they were right in harvest fields. That's where I got my up. They went up there to... I chased them out of the Tennessee country. Then I went up to... the side of Spokane someplace, and they just raised complete cane up there. So they, but in the logging camps, you see, in the olden days, you had to carry a blanket. Where you went, you had to have a blanket, regardless of you didn't get a bed no place. You had to carry your own blankets. And that's where the IWW got in. The logging camps, had to furnish a bedding and to get their beds. But when we went thrashing, when I went out to Genesee, I slept alongside of a power pole along the railroad track in my blanket. When I got through at supper time, well, I'd go out there to an old shock and throw off my blanket, and that's where I'd sleep. That was harvest time, the old. Now, by the way, boy, you don't do that. Oh, there's lots of difference in them days. And that's civilized to compare to what it was the days before my time. Just like Arthur, that he's 10 years older than I am. My gosh, you know, he could tell things that I never even dreamt of. The same way with them there, you said their name.
Birkland.
Birkland boys.
Yeah.
You know, them guys, hey.
Did you ever hear about vigilantes in this country?
Who?
Vigilantes in this country back before your day? you know, the guys that that pretty much just run things and.
Yeah. No, that wouldn't be in here. No, this country here, you see, this here was civilized. The biggest percent of these farmers that come in here along about 18, well, 1886, 7 or somewhere along in there. Now, this American range over there, this, you ever talk to Ben Scotters? Frankie?
The other guy that's been talking to people, he talked to him. He talked to Frankie Van Scotter.
Them boys, yeah. They're old timers.
Yeah.
Hey, Frankie, he's 83, I think. And they're old settlers over there, them first.
Is you burning wood in here? Mm-hmm. Woody?
No, I'm supposed to burn it up.
I just wonder what you...